We've been talking about perseverance of the saints, what we call perseverance of the saints, that we find as a position that is within the Word of God, that those on whom the righteousness of Christ has been placed, you will continue to walk by faith. You will continue to walk in truth, and you will persevere until the end. That is the clear teaching of Scripture, as the Lord Jesus reminds us that no one is able to pluck us out of His hands or out of the hands of the Father. But with that said, one of the questions that we have been exploring over the last couple of weeks is this question of backsliding. When somebody turns away from the clear teaching of the Scriptures and either believes something that is a false doctrine, or they're living their lives in such a way that they are not walking according to the revealed will of God for His people, we call that backsliding. It's a biblical term, turning away from the Lord Jesus, and that holding on to Jesus Christ, and we begin seeking after the things of the world, or we begin to seek after false teaching that is unable to be found in God's Word, or we seek after the things of the flesh, those things of the heart that pull us away, that drive us away. And we all know something of that experience, I would imagine, because none of us are yet glorified. None of us are yet perfected. We have indwelling sin that needs to be dealt with. And that indwelling sin can manifest itself in different ways in the life of the Christian. As I've already stated, it can be us being pulled away by the things of the world. It can be the flesh pulling us into the sense of wanting desire. It can be a pulling away into apostasy and believing lies, as John will go on and warn about antichrists that are there to take us away from what the Word of God teaches, what those things that are commanded are teaching. But what we see here in the beginning of 1 John chapter 2 is John the Apostle is writing to those who he refers to as his little children, those who are the spiritual children of the church, those who are members of the church. He's writing so that they would not sin, so that this backsliding would not occur in our lives, in your life, in the life of those to whom John writes. And what I would like you to notice is John sets out sort of a cure for backsliding. I write these things so that you would not sin, so that you would not backslide, so that you would not live in open rebellion or hidden rebellion against God. And notice the way that he puts forth the healing for backsliding. He says, if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins. He is that satisfaction on the mercy seat of God. And that's good enough for us, and it's good enough for the nations of the world. So we see what the Apostle John does here as he's talking about backsliding. He doesn't tell the early Christians that the way to cure backsliding is to do these certain things, and then do these things, and then say this type of prayer, and then you're again right with God. What he does is he reminds them of those first things that they knew, and those first things that they loved as Christians. And friends, we as Reformed Christians, we have many things that we that we love and that we hold on to and that we believe. We have many things that we like to talk about. We like to talk about worship, and we like to talk about soteriology, and we like to talk about systematics, and we like to talk about all of these things. John says, here's the way to not sin. Here's the way back. If you are falling away, if you are believing things that cannot be defended according to the scriptures, or if you're living rebellious, godless lives, if you're falling in sin and you're saying, you know, I'm too far gone. I'm too far gone from being able to find myself again in Christ. I write these things so that you will not sin. I write these things knowing that if you do sin, you have an advocate with the Father, Christ Jesus, the righteous, the propitiation. You see, that hope in backsliding that we find in the Scriptures is a hope that drives us back to the Christ of the Bible. It drives us back to the cross and to holding on to that trust and that belief that Jesus Christ alone is enough as a propitiation for sin. As we have talked about perseverance, it's important to remember this. And as the canons of Dort, which we've been studying, go on to talk more about backsliding and the hope that we find within backsliding, I want you to listen to this paragraph. They say, this is paragraph 6 of head 5. But God, who is rich in mercy, according to His unchangeable purpose of election, does not wholly withdraw the Holy Spirit from His own people. Even in their melancholy falls, nor suffers them to proceed so far as to lose the grace of adoption and forfeit the state of justification, or to commit the sin unto death. Nor does He permit them to be totally deserted and plunge themselves into everlasting destruction. Friends, that's encouragement for us. That when we do sin, and you will sin, there will be backslidings that occur in your life. And those may not be as huge and openly rebellious as some, as others. But even day to day, we must be finding ourselves clinging to Christ and holding on to Christ. So concerning backsliding and perseverance, the four things that need to be remembered here from this paragraph is, first, that the Father, who's rich in mercy, never changes the decree of election. So we think about salvation, we think about justification, and when we interpret when one has fallen away, and if maybe one falls away and they die outside of Christ, we have to interpret that. And we're encouraged to not interpret that by saying that the decree of election changed, because it didn't. A person may show fruit for a time, but they may fall away, as we are reminded in the parable of the sower. But that does not mean that the decree of election changed. Second is really a sad aspect of backsliding, is that we must understand that although the Holy Spirit may seem to have left those that are backsliding, if a person remains in Christ, the Holy Spirit never fully withdraws. So the Holy Spirit remains even when we're backsliding. And thirdly, the Holy Spirit does not allow us to lose grace to the point where where we lose our adoption or our justification, or we commit the unpardonable sin. If you are in Christ, you will remain in Christ. You are able to still be a son or a daughter of God. And you are justified. Justification is an act, not a process. And friends, it's important to remember this as we have those times where we find ourselves turning away from Christ or turning away from God's Word. And we must be reminded that we are still adopted. Why is that important? It's important because we can come back. We can say, Father, forgive me. We can come back as the prodigal returns to his father's house. Our adoption is never severed if we are truly in Christ. So as we look at these four important points concerning perseverance, we also need to ask the question how the Lord will call someone back. If we're saying that the Holy Spirit continues to indwell and that there remains an advocate, which is the person of Jesus Christ, who is righteous, the propitiation for our sin. If we're saying the Spirit never leaves, even those who are backsliding, if they're truly in Christ, how do you come back? The canons answer this question by saying, in the first place, in these falls, he preserves in them the incorruptible seed of regeneration from perishing or being totally lost. And again, by his word and spirit, certainly and effectually renews them to repentance, to a sincere and godly sorrow for sins, that they may seek and obtain remission in the blood of the mediator, may again experience the favor of a reconciled God, through faith adore his mercies, and henceforward more diligently work out their own salvation with fear and trembling. So as we think about that way ahead, as the Apostle John says, that we have Christ the righteous, who is the propitiation for our sin, even if we sin, we need to be reminded that seed of regeneration is not lost. It does remain within us. And as the Holy Spirit is working on our regenerated hearts, he will cause us to respond by grace. The Spirit will use the Word and the conviction that the Word of God brings to give repentance. We'll see in the Scriptures that we're called to repent, that we're called to come back. And friends, that seed of regeneration that the Holy Spirit works on and causes to flourish even within the backsliding Christian, it's important to remember that he uses the Word. That's what Romans 10 teaches us. It's the Word of God that is used for the converting of sinners and the building of sinners. And that Word of God is to be preached. These are the ordinary means that God uses. We see that will lead to godly sorrow for sin and crying out to God in sincerity. This is why I've counseled numerous people that struggle either with sin or struggle with issues concerning the truths of the Scriptures. My counsel is always and often, don't pull away from the people of God. Don't pull away from the church. Some of you have heard that from me to you personally. But it's important to remember that we don't pull away from the church, because what we do is we separate ourselves from those means of grace that Jesus Christ has provided his church so that we would grow, so that we would grow to understand and grow in conviction and grow to know, and those things that will rebuke us and cause us to be found wanting and cause us to desire to be faithful. That only happens within that context of this, not this, but the church that God has given to the world. The ordinary means of grace are something that happen here. And again, friends, not just here, other faithful churches as well, but when you find yourself backsliding and slipping away from biblical doctrines or slipping away in your lifestyle, or if you find yourself living in sin or outward rebellion, the easiest thing for you to do is say, I don't want to see those people. I don't want to face those people. I don't want to be judged. But friends, what you need to do is to boldly come to God's Word. Boldly find yourselves searching the Scriptures to see if these things be true. Boldly finding yourselves repenting of things that the Scriptures call sin. And you return to Christ. The Lord will be faithful in preserving His people. And He uses ordinary means for that. He uses those means that we find in the New Testament as things that Jesus Christ uses to bring sinners to Himself. Those same means that He uses to bring one to Christ for the first time. Again, going back to John. John doesn't give a list of ways to do penance in order to renew your covenant with God. He says, when you sin, you have an advocate, Jesus Christ the righteous. He's the propitiation. He's the one to whom you go. We find in the Scriptures that Jesus uses these ordinary things to bring us back to Himself. When He does this, when He uses this means, as I said, we use those means that we find within the Scriptures. And friends, one of those means that we find in the New Testament that's not necessarily one that's fun to talk about is church discipline. Church discipline is used to restore sinners that are backsliding. I had a conversation last week with a pastor that explained this scenario to me. And he explained it in such a way that he was trying to give the best defense of why this particular backslidden Christian should be able to walk away without using discipline. And I said to this pastor, church discipline is a means of grace that Jesus uses to restore sinners. And even though, and this is the illustration that I used, even though it's like kicking a wasp's nest, it's what Christ calls us to do. Because again, it's one of those ordinary means that we find in the Scriptures. One of those means that God uses so that His saints would persevere, so that we would be preserved. And I don't say that because I like church discipline, but I say that because the Scriptures put forth discipline as a way to restore those that are backsliding, and the church ought to use it. So we talk about means of grace. We mention discipline, other things in the Word, preaching, the prayers of the saints, the singing of psalms, the reading of Scripture, and then other things that aren't necessarily things we do in public worship, but we can think about fellowship, and we can think of admonishment from brothers and sisters, and different ways that we encourage one another as saints. All of these things being used as means of grace, that we would grow and that we would persevere. And if we're pulling away, or if somebody's pulling away, we're called to use those things. And these things that are used, these means of grace, they are something that we use. But the glory doesn't go to the church. The glory doesn't go to us. If a sinner is restored, listen to this paragraph. This is paragraph 8. Thus it is not in consequence of their own merits or strength, but of God's free mercy, that they do not totally fall from faith in grace, nor continue and perish finally in their backslidings, which with respect to themselves is not only possible, but would undoubtedly happen. But with respect to God is utterly impossible, since His counsel cannot be changed, nor His promises fail. Neither can the call according to His purpose be revoked, nor the merit, intercession, and preservation of Christ be rendered ineffectual, nor the sealing of the Holy Spirit be frustrated or obliterated. Friends, this is the teaching of Scripture, that God's counsel does not change, and that the intercession of the Lord Jesus Christ will not stop for one that is His. And that sealing that the Holy Spirit brings as we are brought in union with Christ, that seal does not go away, but will continue. And because of these things, the glory goes to God in our perseverance. The glory goes to God when a sinner is restored from backsliding. If a sinner were restored, if someone who's been excommunicated from this congregation comes back in repentance, we don't call them up front, pat them on the shoulder and say, "Good job, buddy, you finally figured it out." We say, "Glory be to God who keeps His promises." Glory be to God. This is the hope in backsliding. This is the hope that Jesus Christ and those for whom Christ died will be sustained in this life and in the next. So congregation, if you find yourself being one that is backsliding, and again, that can be intellectually, that can be in your affections, that can be in your connection to God's Word, it can be in your outward actions as a person, it can be all these different things, but if you find yourself walking away from what the Scriptures teach and what the Scriptures call us to be as men and women in union with Christ, your call today is repentance. Your call today is to be reminded that Jesus Christ is enough. That we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And He's enough. If He was enough for the Apostle Paul or the Apostle John to put forth as the counsel for those who have been in Christ and yet sin, He's enough for us. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. I call you to run to Him, to be forgiven, to confess, to come before Him as the one who is the propitiation Amen.